Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
Live from America's finest city, it's the John Contreras Show.
Oh, doctor!
Now, here's the coach, John Contreras, on 97.3 The Fan.
Hour number two, Coach John Contreras with you to 3 o'clock. And again, the big story here in San Diego is a trade that Tampa Bay and the Padres made official this morning with teams saying that the ball players passed their physical. Tommy Pham coming to San Diego from Tampa Bay, along with infielder and right-handed pitcher Jay Cronenworth. The Padres send Hunter Renfroe, Xavier Edwards, and a player to be named later to the Tampa Bay Rays. Right now, we're going to head out to our newsmaker line. And when I found out this gentleman was going to be on, I got a smile on my face because I remember him playing in the big leagues. I know he played in Japan, and I've seen him on TV, and he's doing a marvelous job for Tampa Bay in that capacity. Former major leaguer Orestes Estrada joins us on 97.3 The Fan. Orestes, how are you today?
I'm good, John Kuhn. Thanks a lot for having me, buddy. Listen, it's a pleasure. I wasn't expecting to be talking to the beautiful La Jolla area in San Diego today, but unfortunately or fortunately, I will see which way it really plays out because of this deal. We're talking. So, you know, here it is.
Hey, Orestes, Tommy Pham is a guy that I saw come up through the Cardinal organization, thought he was a really nice piece with the Cardinals midway through the 2018 season. He gets dealt to Tampa Bay. And from, you know, an outsider looking in and watching the games that I do, this guy really did a nice job for Tampa Bay the last year and a half.
He did a phenomenal job for Tampa Bay the last year and a half. The first half part, it was hands down, he was the MVP of the last 2 months of last year. And this year, not at all inconsistent. I think he would have liked, we would have liked a little bit maybe more power, a little more risk, you know, but he bettered that the second half. And just, you know, like a tad a little bit more because what he's shown, you know, in those 2 months coming out was just so dramatic that you were hoping that he was going to have 6 months of that. But all that being said, man, he had an above average year, a solid year in all aspects of the game, especially getting on base, being a team leader. And one capacity that I will say that I will miss, having played for 15 years from here to, you know, the major leagues, minor leagues, Japan, and then covering the game for as long as I have, very few guys that I've been around, even the old school, you know, diehard guys that really kind of take the game as seriously as Tommy Pham does. One thing that I'll ask you to really pay attention when you're watching the game for your viewers, but also, you know, when you're at the game, is how, you know, intensely he pays attention to every nuance and intricacy of the game. When he gets on first base, the first thing he's doing is checking the outfield, checking the infield. He'll look at his coach. Everything is very, very systematic and very tunnel vision. You know, I was duly impressed. Even his practice, when he's running the bases, is, you know, that's a lost art now. You know, from first to second or second, he'll take a lead and he'll practice his rounding. He'll practice tagging up. You can't talk to him or bug him when he's doing these things. He's very serious, and on the flip side, his intensity carries over to just his personality, and I think that's where, you know, maybe there was some contentious situations, and the Rays kind of decided, you know what, he's been nice, but we don't want to run across any other issues. Not that there were any, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, and Orestes, it's changed a lot since you were in the clubhouse as a player. I mean, the veterans, you know, it didn't always have to be the manager. In fact, more times than not on good ball clubs, it isn't the manager. It's the veteran guys that are going to pull the other guys along with them, and they're going to hold their teammates accountable. And it sounds like Tommy Pham's a guy that's not afraid to speak his mind. And if a guy's dogging it, he's going to let him know about it.
He is, and he's basically not politically correct. In this day and age now that we live in of like, oh, don't say that. Oh, don't step on any toes. You know, Tommy, he just can't help it. It's the way that he is and the way he's going to be. He's very almost linebacker, you know, old school linebacker, you know, thinking of guys like, man, the great Junior Seau, if you want to go back to the Padres, you know, the San Diego and the Charger days, no messing around, man, and don't mess around with me. But that goes across to how he treats his teammates, how he treats fans, how he treats the organization. He's a loving guy, but he's no nonsense. Don't mess with him and stuff. And sometimes, you know, that rubs people the wrong way. And but he's going to say yes is yes and no is no. And but yeah, I tell you, I'd rather have that than some of the flim-flammy kind of scenarios that you have in this day and age. So you guys are getting a quintessential, old-school, strong, very talented, and I think productive baseball player.
We're visiting with Orestes Destrada, who works in the broadcasting industry with the Tampa Bay Rays, does a lot of pre- and post-game, and looks good. Always dressed to the nines, Orestes. I got to mention that.
You know, my father, my uncle used to tell me it's better to look good than to feel good. So, you know, darling, you look good.
Yeah, you're fantastic, and I've always enjoyed you on when we get the games out here and are able on that extra innings to see the post game and the pregame and all that good stuff. Hey, do you know much about Jake Cronenworth? I know he hadn't played in the big leagues. I thought maybe you'd seen him a little bit or heard about him through spring training.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I think that's the kid that was kind of two-way,
right.
If I'm not mistaken. That, yeah, he's got a really nice rocket of an arm. I think that was a tough give up for the Rays. They really liked that kid, and I'm sure so did the Padres. And they ended up pushing for that, and they had to give that up because I don't think they wanted to. I think they wanted to continue trying to groom this kid, not at all for a starter situation as far as pitching, but they liked his bat, they liked his potential offensively and as an everyday player. But they also liked the fact that maybe you have that extra. You know, in today's, day and age where we saw how the bullpen played a factor, good and bad, in the World Series. You know, bad for Houston in the end, great for Washington in the end. Having that extra talented arm that could come in and get an out or two or three would be dramatic and still, stay in the game somehow, way, shape, or form. I think that would be pretty cool, and I think you're going to start seeing that more and more. Not so much the Ohtani, starter hitter type thing, but maybe, reliever hitter type thing. Now, on the flip side, I like Hunter Renfro. This is an interesting trade because you've got two guys that basically match up money-wise, the way I look at it, because they're both arbitration eligible. They've both got, about a good 4 years in the big leagues. So they're both going to be warranting, I would assume, $7, $8 million in arbitration. So they didn't really get rid of either one of them for money. It was they're both gonna have to get paid, and if I'm not mistaken, I don't know what kind of contract Hunter Renfro is. I might be stepping on some bounds that maybe they might have tied him up on a sweetheart deal.
No, they haven't.
Yeah, so he's arbitration. He's gonna get paid some pretty decent bucks, even though he only hit .216. But hey, 33 bombs? You get paid for that these days.
Yeah,
I know that he's been very inconsistent.
Yeah, well, he was hurt most of the second half of the year, and he really improved his defense a great deal. You'll like his arm. Where does he fit in with Tampa Bay?
I think he fits in left field. I loved our outfield last year. We had a rotation of about four guys between, the Gold Glove, Kiermaier, who thankfully was healthy all year long and showed his wares again. He can, really fix his offense. He could be, a true superstar one day, but defensively, the greatest. Tommy was solid in left and was an everyday guy and hardly missed games. And then you had the kid Austin Meadows that's an MVP in the makings, and then Garcia, which last I saw, nobody's really signed Garcia yet, but I think it's going to be a tough pull for the Rays to re-sign Garcia. I hope that they save their pennies and at least make a gallant effort for re-signing Avisaíl Garcia and give him being the big, free agent expenditure this year, like Morton was. But for me, I see Renfro in a DH, left field, right field situation, much like Avisaíl Garcia. So maybe this is a situation where, it allows them to not re-sign Garcia, because that's where Renfro would fit in.
Hey, Orestes, I'll let you get out of here and appreciate the time. We're visiting with Orestes Destrada, former major leaguer, now broadcaster for the Tampa Bay Rays. You expect Tampa Bay to be active the remainder of the offseason?
A little bit. I think there's a free agent, you know, there's some monies that I think they're going to spend. Last year, we know what that was. That was the great, you know, Morton, and it was a on-point signing for 2 years, $30 million. I think there's something like that out there. I don't know who and what it is. Again, wishfully, I hope it's Garcia. But I don't even know if, you know, 3 year, 30-something, low 30s is going to do it. I think he's going to probably maybe warrant more. If not, man, tie that kid up. But the bottom line about the Rays, I think if you really, really study baseball and see what they have and what they have in the minor leagues, what they have on you know, per position and pitching arms, this is a team that should compete really formidably for the next 2 to 3 to 4 years because they got a lot of attractive contracts, a lot of youth, and they can mix and match with the best of them. Think about it. They did what they did without having a fully, fully healthy Glasnow and Blake Snell. Both kids are dramatic, and if they're healthy next year, watch out.
Hey, I appreciate the time today. Always enjoyed you as a player and enjoy you as a broadcaster, and hopefully one day you and I will be able to shake hands.
You got it, man. Thank you, Johnny. And I'm a big San Diego fan, I mean, of the city and the area. And by all means, man, call me anytime.
Hey, be well, my friend.
You got it, buddy.
There you go. Restus Destrada, a former big leaguer. In fact, my buddy Orin Freeman, who was with the Marlins, he was the international director when they first started the franchise. He actually signed Restus Destrada. And, boy, he really talks highly of Restus. So it was great to get him on to get his thoughts on Tommy Pham. And, Braden, once again, another guy that is a big Tommy Pham fan and said that, you know, he's not politically correct. He's going to call guys out. And you know what? That's something that's been missing from the Padres for a number of years here.
Yeah, I agree. And I like this move. I'm a big fan of it. I'm not going to, you know, it's tough for a lot of fans because, they get attached to prospects that we talk about. You know, on the pre- and post-game show, we talk about all the time here on 97.3 The Fan, and we talk about the up-and-coming farm system. And we kind of get guys excited and fans excited about the future of the Padres, but at the end of the day, you need to make some moves in order to improve your Major League roster, and you need to have some lineup construction. You need to be able to fit the pieces together to make the Major League team a winning team, and I think Tommy Pham is a huge add for the San Diego Padres. Look, we're talking about all the moves that they needed to make during the offseason. We're throwing out names. We're throwing out guys that might be able to be traded. I had no idea that Tommy Pham was even on the trade block from the Tampa Bay Rays or even worth being traded for. I didn't even know that was someone the Padres were looking after. That's why I think that was a big surprise to all of us. Because that's not one of the guys we've been talking about over the last handful of months.
He may not have been on the trade block, but A.J. Preller's turning over every stone right now with he and his dynamite staff down there. They're trying to get some ball players in here, and so far I think they're doing a hell of a job this offseason.
I think so, too. And the thing is, are they the biggest moves like the last couple of years? You're signing Manny Machado? No, but it's helping that roster, and it's building a better baseball team for 2020, and that's what you want. I mean, they want to compete in 2020. They want to be able to compete in years beyond. And this lineup going in opening day already, if you start looking at last year's opening day lineup, you'll be like, wow, this lineup's a little bit better than that one.
A little bit, yeah, just a little bit. And again, I expect Manny Machado to be a lot better ball player. You know, Manny got waylaid during the offseason because he had to fly around him and his wife were flying around all these things. And, you know, I just think Manny he got out of his routine during the winter. I think Manny Machado is going to come back and have a hell of a year.
And we saw that with, you know, Eric Hosmer had a better year offensively than he did the first year with the Padres. I think Manny Machado is going to do the same thing because, again, like you said, offseason was a little bit different. He wasn't focused necessarily on getting ready for the season, but making sure he had a good contract and making sure he was in a spot that, you know, he can spend the, you know, probably the rest of his major league days playing baseball. And he signed late, so he didn't get the full spring training opportunity as well. And then plus, he wants to live. A lot of guys, and Tony Gwynn said it. You know, when you sign that big contract, you want to show everybody why you deserve that contract.
He tried to do that the first homestand, too.
Yeah, and he did, and it's human nature. Now I think it's going to be a little more calm. All right, you know, I don't need to, you know, show everybody what I got, and I got my contract now, and I'm going to go out and play. And I think that's what Manny Machado is going to do. He's got great lineup protection. We're going to see. We're not going to have the question of whether or not Tatis Jr. starts with a team or not. He's going to start with a team, and you know, we're gonna have some good players here. And I know the Padres aren't aren't done yet in their offseason.
I'm excited for the season. They just need a couple of more starting pitchers and figure out what they're doing behind the plate. We could have a good ball club here in San Diego this year. A lot of good things to talk about. When we come back, we're going to take a look at the college football championship games that get underway tonight and will be played tomorrow. We're going to 3 o'clock in Gwynn and Chris today. The John Katera Show right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Didn't catch the game? We've got you covered. It's Football Friday, presented by Hooters on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, thanks for joining us today, and also want to remind you, 97.3 The Fan's coverage of the 2019 MLB Winter Meetings is presented by your San Diego Honda dealers. Take advantage of the end-of-the-year offers on your favorite Honda model. Your San Diego Honda dealers are ready to wrap up a deal you'll love at their Happy Honda Day sales event. Visit sdhondadealers.com. Well, we've talked a lot about the Padres, and Braden, I got to tell you, I've always enjoyed Tommy Pham. It doesn't seem like he's been in the big leagues all that long. I remember when he first broke in, he played in a series against the Padres and absolutely tore them apart. But Orestes Destrada, Steve Carney, who we had on here in the last 45 minutes, these guys really liked him. And the thing that I like about him is he's a guy about accountability. And that's what I'm all about with a team or a business. You got to hold people accountable. And, you know, he comes to play every night, and he's going to hold his teammates accountable. And I really like that.
I like that, but I also like his on-field play, and I like the consistency he has with his, his averages. I mean, he consistently hits the ball. He's out there to make some, Hayward. He's not there just to hit home runs. We've seen that with a lot of guys. You know, Hunter Renfrow hits a lot of home runs, and if you like home runs, that's great. But I want a guy that can hit more than 216, and that's what Tommy Pham is. Veteran leadership guy that's been there, done that before. I think it's a great ad for the Padres.
Yeah, his on-base percentage is about 80% better than, or 80 points higher than Hunter Renfrow, okay?
Yeah.
Hunter Renfrow was under 300 on-base percentage, and he hit 216. Yeah, you run into some, but, he struck out a ton.
And they're mostly solo shots, too.
Yeah, and I'm not going to sit here and disparage Hunter Renfrow. I enjoyed him with the Padres, and I think, I think he needs a change of scenery, as they like to say in baseball. I think he's been a little frustrated in the Padre organization each of the last couple of years. All right, let's get to these college football championship games. And, Braden, I'll let you take it away. And tonight, 5 o'clock, 5 o'clock, the Pac-12 championship game.
Yeah, Pac-12 championship game tonight at 5 o'clock. And, by the way, worst time slot for a championship game. Thanks, Pac-12.
Yeah, people are going to be in Southern California. People are going to be sitting in their car.
It'll be halftime before people get home tonight.
Exactly.
On a Friday night. And you wonder why most of the people don't think highly of the Pac-12 when they're talking about this conversation. All right, we're off our soapbox. Utah, 11-1, they're number 5 team in the country. Oregon's number 13, they're 10-2. Oregon's not in playoff contention. Utah is. Utah really needs this win. Here's Kyle Whittingham talking about the long road back to the Pac-12 championship, a team that was in the Pac-12 championship a year ago.
It's running the gauntlet of a 9-game Pac-12 schedule is not easy. And of course, we started out far from the ideal situation, losing that first one where we had to run the table the rest of the way. And so it was a long, hard road, but our guys persevered and continued to work and continued to stay focused and continued to just attack them one at a time.
Utah is favored by 7.
I'm going with Utah in this game. I'm a big Kyle Whittingham fan. I think he does an outstanding job and has for many, many years. I think it's really sad that BYU couldn't pry him away from Utah a number of years ago because he was a great linebacker for BYU. But now he's sitting up there in Utah, long-term contract, and one win away from getting to the College Bowl playoffs.
Yeah, I like Utah in this game. I really like Utah to make the playoff. I mean, I'd be a big fan of watching. I know I'm different than Paul Feinbaum and the rest of the country, allegedly. But I'd really love to see Utah play in the college football playoff. It's a Pac-12, some love, and I think they deserve it as well. Again, if they win. If they lose tonight, they don't deserve to be in it
right, with
2 losses. Big 12 championship tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., another bad time slot. If you're a Power 5 conference, it's okay. Baylor and Oklahoma are 7-6. It's a pretty good matchup. Anyway, Baylor's 11-1. Oklahoma is 11-1. Oklahoma comes in at the 6th seed. Baylor is the 7 in terms of their college football playoff ranking. Oklahoma's favored by 8.5. Here's head football coach Lincoln Riley on Oklahoma's mindset versus Baylor.
Championship games are different. They feel different. Everything about them is different. And so our focus has got to just be on this one and, how we can play our very best. And we know we're going to have to play well to beat Baylor. We realize the challenge it's going to be, but it's going to be its own game for sure.
since the Sooners have, or since the Big 12 championship has been brought back, the Sooners have not lost it. They beat TCU in year one. They beat Texas in year two. And they're looking like they might beat Baylor in year three. Oklahoma is a big case to make the college football playoff as well if they win the championship tomorrow at 9 a.m.
I'll go with Oklahoma, and you're playing Lincoln Riley. Could be the new head coach of the Dallas Cowboys down the road.
He better be. He better use that stadium he's playing in. That game, of course, is going to be at Jerry's World, so we'll see about that. They also said Urban Meyer might be the new head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
I'll see that one.
So who knows in terms of that. But I think Oklahoma's the better football team. I think Baylor's had a really good season. And Matt Rhule, here's the deal about Matt Rhule. As a TCU fan, as a TCU alum, you're supposed to hate everything about Baylor. I don't hate Matt Rhule. Matt Rhule's a good guy. He makes it hard to hate Matt Rhule.
Didn't Oklahoma beat them already? Isn't that their only loss?
That is Baylor's only loss.
Right.
And Baylor was up big in that game, and that game was in Waco. It was not in
– Yeah, but they had Jalen Hurts.
What?
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts plays for the Sooners.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He led them to that comeback win.
Yeah, and the fact that, you know, Baylor's not as good as you think they are. Anyway, SEC championship game tomorrow at 12:30 on CBS. I know one person in this building is going to be very excited about that game. He's already hyperventilating over there. Georgia, 11-1, number four in the country versus number two, LSU. 12. This game has a little bit more meaning for Georgia than it does LSU. LSU, with a loss, I'm sure they'll still make the college football playoff. Georgia really needs a win and get in. Here is Ed Orgeron, the head football coach of LSU, talking about preparing for a potential away game since the game is in Atlanta.
I know our fans are going to be there. I feel good about that. Everywhere we've gone, we've had great fans. But we will treat this as an away game. We will have crowd noise on Tuesday and Wednesday. We'll be very well prepared for all the Georgia fight songs they'll play on our field all week.
And then here's head football coach of the Georgia Bulldogs, Kirby Smart, on the biggest challenge they faced all year.
This will be as great a challenge as we've had. I know since I've been here as far as playing an opponent, and our players have earned this opportunity. We didn't back our way into this game. We earned our way into this game. And we're looking forward to the opportunity to play in what is probably one of the greatest stages. I've said it over and over in all of college football.
At the airport, apparently in Atlanta, they're playing Georgia's fight song on loop, and LSU fans are trying to jump on the loudspeakers and play their own fight song. It's a little bit of a battle there at the Atlanta airport. Should be a fun game between Georgia and LSU tomorrow afternoon at 12:30.
I think it's going to be a real tight ball game. I think LSU probably squeaks it out. But how about if Georgia ends up beating them significantly, like 35-10, and Oklahoma blows out Baylor? Is there any shot a blowout loss by LSU could take them out of the top four?
I really don't think so unless they lose by 100. Okay. To be honest with you. Unless they lose, I don't really see that happening.
Well, I don't see it happening, but you never know. College football, you just never know.
Well, that's not what I don't see them not being in the playoff happening.
Even if they got smoked by three touchdowns.
I don't think it's they're going to want to see Joe Burrow in the playoff. They're going to see they beat all those teams and they're in at this point. I think ACC championship game tomorrow at 4:30. Of course, a great time slot for the ACC championship game. The best matchup of the weekend between number 23 Virginia 9-3 versus number 3 Clemson 12-0. I don't know if you've noticed my sarcasm or not. Dabo Swinney, head football coach of the Clemson Tigers, on the playoff, not wanting them in.
It's huge from a national standpoint because, obviously, if we lose this game, I mean, they're going to kick us out. They don't want us in there anyway. We'd drop to 20. Georgia loses to this very same team, and the very next day it's how do we keep Georgia in it? We win to the team that beat South Carolina, and it's how do we get Clemson out? They can't vote us out. I mean, we got to go in. We got to go 30-0. I mean, we ain't got no choice. But we don't play nobody.
Dabo Swinney says they don't play nobody. And, of course, it got a little twisted in that soundbite. He's talking about Clemson hammered South Carolina, and how can we get Clemson out of the playoff? Georgia lost to South Carolina. How do we keep Georgia in? He thinks there's a little bit of bias in terms of the college football playoff. Anyway, they should have a cakewalk tomorrow as they take on Virginia, who is 9-3 and ranked 23rd in the country.
Yeah, it'll be a cakewalk, and I'll be honest with you, I don't have that game scheduled to even watch tomorrow.
No, not when you got this game on. Ohio State, 12-0, number one in the country versus number eight in the country, Wisconsin, 10-2. The Big Ten championship game tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Here's head coach Ryan Day for the Ohio State Buckeyes on Wisconsin being well-coached.
This is a very, very well-coached team, and Coach Chris, I think, is one of the best coaches not only in the conference but in the country. And you look at what he's done and how many times he's been to this game, and the staff, they do a great job, and they're very, very well-coached. And I think they've gotten better as the season's going on. So, yeah, it's going to be a big challenge, and it's going to be hard. It's going to go all the way to the fourth quarter, and so we need to have a great week of practice here.
Ryan Day, the head football coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, talking about how well-coached Wisconsin is. Of course, the Buckeyes already beat Wisconsin this year, if I'm not mistaken. Ohio State seems to be rolling, and I don't think anybody's going to be in its way.
I've been pretty impressed with Ohio State. Only way Wisconsin wins this game, if they can run the ball consistently with Taylor. I mean, he's a great running back. I wonder if he's going to get invited to the Heisman ceremony a week from tomorrow. We'll have to wait and see. We'll find out probably early in the week. But, no, I think Ohio State wins this ball game, and I think they're going to win significantly. All right, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we're going to get you an NFL preview. We're also going to throw out the phone numbers. I'm sure people out there, they've kind of digested this Padre deal. We'll take your phone calls at 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Also coming up at 1:50, we've got Bench the Coach today. And when we come back, Braden will tell you what's on tap for Bench the Coach. You're listening to the John Quintero Show right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Listening to San Diego's home for football. It's Football Friday, presented by Hooters on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we got a lot to get done here in the next 20 minutes. The time is 1:40 right now. We got Bench the Coach coming up here in about 10 or 12 minutes. But also want to remind everyone, coming up in the next 30 minutes, you need to listen for your name to be called and give us a call back. Within 10 minutes, you'll win a family four-pack of tickets to 97.3 The Fan's Takeover Night on Friday, December 13th. That's next Friday. The SeaWorld Christmas Celebration presented by Sprint. Experience over 1 million lights and the all-new shows and attractions like the Sesame Street Christmas Village, the Winter Wonderland on Ice Show, and the Cirque Christmas Show. If you call back in time, you'll also be entered to win our grand prize, the perfect Christmas gift, a Barry Manilow Vegas getaway that includes two VIP tickets to see Manilow perform at the International Theater at the Westgate Las Vegas, dinner for two at the Edge Steakhouse, plus a Serenity Spa experience. Make sure to sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan to enter. And if our biggest fan, who yesterday, by the way, did call in and claim the prize, if the biggest fan does not call in, then we'll open it up to the rest of you listeners out there. So, again, we got that coming up here in the next 30 minutes. Also, if you want to be a part of Bench the Coach today, Braden, and before I give out the phone number, what's the topic today for Bench the Coach?
Pac-12 championship game is tonight, so I need to know the history about the Pac-12 championship game.
Well, how can people know the history of the Pac-12 championship game when it's on 5 o'clock on Friday nights? People work.
Hey, man, it's a Pac-12 town. You said that yesterday.
Yeah, it is, but people are going to be sitting in traffic and miss the first half. Okay, if you want to be a part of Bench the Coach, you think you got your Pac-12 trivia down and can take me on, fire up that phone line right now at 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We're going to get back to more Padre baseball coming up at the top of the hour. And I would expect, Braden, by 2 o'clock, normally 2 o'clock is a great hour for people to call our talk show. I want to hear from some Padre fans. We've only had a couple of calls today wanting to talk about this trade. Last night we came on. Nobody knew we were going to come on last night at 9 o'clock and talk Padre baseball, and the phone lines were filled.
Yeah, everybody was excited for the new trade. Tommy Pham, it was blowing up on Twitter. Blake Snell, blowing up on Twitter. It was a lot of fun stuff last night. We had people from We had more phone calls from people out of town than we had in town. To be honest, we had our boy Chandler from Tucson, yeah. Which I think is it's like that Forrest Gump movie where you had Dallas from Phoenix.
A lot of people listening to 97.3 The Fam nationwide. We found that out last night, actually, at that PPR award ceremony last night. We had several people come up and say they listen on radio.com. Braden, right now, let's get to our big NFL weekend preview.
All right, Coach, let's get excited for some NFL football this weekend. We'll get back to the draft coverage, or not draft coverage, the trade coverage momentarily. Carolina Panthers 5-7 at the Atlanta Falcons 3-9. Falcons are favored by 3. Carolina, of course, fired their head coach, Ron Rivera, earlier this week. They think the Panthers are going to win one for their coach.
I think the Panthers are going to win this football game. Atlanta, I think still Dan Quinn is a walking man dead. I don't think he'll be back next year with the Atlanta Falcons.
Dead man walking, Dan Quinn. You heard it here first. Baltimore Ravens 10-2. They're favored by 6 at the Buffalo Bills, who are 9-3. Here is their quarterback, Lamar Jackson, on trying to stay disciplined.
my teammates and I will probably have like the season we have now, even though it was younger, but, you know, we'll probably be having a great season. And then we'll hit a hump, you know, underestimating the team, going in like, okay, this is just a little blowout game, and then walk in and play a disciplined team, and they outplay us. So, you know, I just stay focused on the next tab. I don't really care about the big thing until we're there. So I'm focused on week in, week out, Sunday to Sunday, Thursday to Thursday. I'm focused on the next opponent. Right now, we got the Bills.
They got the Bills on the road. They're favored by 6. The Baltimore Ravens are, you know, one thing. And one, it's going to be cold, and people are going to be jumping through tables with Bills Mafia. You got the Bills, you got the Ravens.
I think both teams are playing great football. Ravens coming off that great win last week against the 49ers. Buffalo getting a few extra days off, winning that Thanksgiving game against Dallas. You mentioned the Bills Mafia. It's going to be cold. I'm going to go with the upset, and I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills.
It doesn't matter how many tables you can jump through, the Ravens are still going to win this football game. Cincinnati Bengals 1-11 at the Cleveland Browns, who are 5-7. The Browns are 7.5-point favorites over the team that just won last week for the first time, quarterbacked by Andy Dalton. Here's Andy Dalton talking about the fire he has to stay as the starting quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals.
It's not like I had lost any passion for playing the game, but like it just gave me a sense of, okay, I want to be out there. I want to be the guy. I want to be the one that's helping this team, trying to win and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, to kind of have it taken away from me for a little bit, I mean, I think it was just one of those things where it's like, man, I really want to be out there.
Andy Dalton and the Cincinnati Bengals are 1-0 after 2 weeks. 1-11 on the year.
He didn't sound like he was kind of convincing himself into what he was having to say. It didn't sound a lot of passion in that voice.
It sounded like he was ready to get out of here. He got the Bengals to win, and now he's gone. I like the Browns in this one, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Browns do something the Browns would do and lose to a team that only has one win.
Yeah, both are a bad football team. I'm going to go with the Browns just because they have more talent.
Hey, you know who's red hot right now? That'd be the Washington Redskins. 3-9 on the year. They won 3 in a row, and guess what? They have a chance to make the playoffs and win the NFC East. Of course, they got to get through the Green Bay Packers this week, who are 9-3 and favored by 12.5. Game will be at Lambeau Field. Dwayne Haskins stewing up something that they got to be reckoned with for the Washington Redskins?
I don't think so. I think they're going to be 3-10. I'm just hoping they play well. I'd like to see Kevin O'Connell have a shot for that head coaching job in Washington, the former La Costa Canyon and San Diego State player.
Two indoor teams in the NFC North. The Detroit Lions will travel to Minnesota to take on the Vikings. Lions are 3-8-1. Vikings are 8-4. Vikings favored by 13 as they continue the hunt for the NFC North division title. Do you like the Vikings minus 13 or the Lions plus 13?
I'm not a big Vikings fan, but I was pretty impressed with their effort the other night against Seattle. I'm going to go with the Vikings in this ball game at home.
San Francisco 10-2 at the New Orleans Saints 10-2. Saints favored by 2.5. This should be another great game. Back-to-back weeks, the Niners have to take on some pretty quality opponents. Here's head football coach Kyle Shanahan of the 49ers saying it's too early to talk about the playoffs.
Going into last week, we could control our own destiny, and we're in that same position this week. So nothing's really changed on that. So that's stuff that, until it does, you don't really think about it. And with how good the teams are doing and the records in the NFC, I know that'll come down to the last couple weeks, which is a few weeks from now. So I'm not worried about it. But when it does come to there, yeah, I will address that with the team.
Saints have the Superdome as their a little advantage of 2.5 points. You like the Niners to go in there and defeat the Saints, or do you like the Saints minus 2.5?
They're going to put a lot of heat on Drew Brees. Even though it's a dome stadium, I normally go with New Orleans. I just think the 49ers are a better football team, and they know what's at stake right now. They're going to be ready to go. 49ers beat the spread, and they're going to win this football game by about 7.
Miami Dolphins 3-9 at the New York Jets 4-8. Jets favored by 5.5, although the Dolphins have been playing good football of late.
I'm going with the Miami Dolphins. I believe in Brian Flores more than I believe in Adam Gase.
Plus, the Jets gave the Bengals their only win so far this season. Indianapolis 6-6. The Colts are at Tampa Bay. The Buccaneers are 5-7. Bucks are favored by 3. I like the Colts, even though they got to go on the road.
Yeah, Colts, they're giving ground a little bit right now, to say the least, last few weeks. I'm going to go with them. Tampa Bay right now. I'm hearing comments from Arians. You know, a lot of things surrounding Jameis Winston. He's turned the ball over, Braden, 25 times between fumbles and interception. Leads the National Football League, by the way, in that category. I'm going with the Colts on the road.
Denver Broncos 4-8. The Houston Texans are 8-4. Texans favored by 9, just defeated the Patriots. Broncos just won after they knocked down the Chargers. Broncos still in the hunt for the AFC West, surprisingly enough.
You know what? It'd be easy to go with the Houston Texans. I'm going to go with the Broncos. I like their defense. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see if Drew Lock can have another solid ball game. He looked good in his NFL debut last week against the Chargers. I don't think Denver is that far away from being a pretty good team. And next year, watch out for those Broncos if they can really find a trigger man, maybe Phillip Rivers.
You really want Phillip Rivers to become a Denver Bronco. Phillip Rivers still is a Los Angeles Charger, and the Chargers are 4-8. They're favored by 3 at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Are also 4-8. Their head football coach, Anthony Lynn, talking about how frustrating the season's been.
You could not have told me we'd play 8 games and lose by 1 score and not win at least half of those. But, you know, it goes back to we haven't taken the ball away. We've turned the ball over too much, and we haven't made good decisions in critical situations. And that's coaches and players. And until we correct that, you know, this is kind of the season that you're going to have. We can't do anything about the last 3 quarters of our season, but we can do something about this last quarter.
And that's what separates good teams from bad teams, and the Chargers are a bad football team. They're favored by 3 on the road to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Chargers or Jags?
I'm going to go with Jacksonville. Chargers have lost their swagger. A lot of concern about whether the organization is going to part ways with Phillip Rivers. You have no idea what's going through his mind right now. I just don't see the Chargers going cross-country at a 4-8 record, going in to take on Jacksonville. I'm going to Gardner Minshew and the Jags in this one.
Let's rip through the last 4 games here. Titans 7-5, favored by 2.5 of the Oakland Raiders, who are 6-6.
I'm going with the Tennessee Titans.
Chiefs 8-4 at the New England Patriots, 10-2. The Chiefs have won the last 2 regular season meetings against the Patriots. Patriots are favored by 3. You know, it's going to be cold up there in New England.
Kansas City's used to cold, okay, in Kansas City, Missouri. I'm going with Kansas City because the struggles will continue for that offense and Tom Brady with the Pats.
Pittsburgh Steelers 7-5, favored by 2.5. The Arizona Cardinals are 3-8-1. Steelers rolling with Hodges again at quarterback.
I'm going with the Pittsburgh Steelers on the road, and they'll cover the spread.
Last game for you, Seattle Seahawks 10-2 with the Los Angeles Rams, who are 7-5. This game is even. Here's Sean McVay, the head football coach of the Los Angeles Rams, on their approach for Todd Gurley in this game.
Me not being an idiot, you know? No, I think he's felt good, and really he's done a nice job with that. So really it was, you know, you look at the Chicago game and then kind of just going from there. You don't want to make some of the same mistakes that you ended up making earlier on in the season, and I think he's done a nice job handling a bigger workload, but then also you do have confidence in those other guys if they need to give him a spell.
Rams are basically in the playoffs right now with win now to try to keep up with the Seahawks and the Niners and potentially catch the Vikings for a wild card spot at 7-5. They host the Seattle Seahawks 10-2. Should be Sunday Night Football next week.
It's going to be a great ball game, no question about it. Big Russell Wilson fan. I love Pete Carroll, but I think right now McVay and the Rams are in desperate mode. I think they win this football game at home.
I agree with you, and that is our NFL segment there.
All right, right now we're going to get to our biggest fan. It is Sean Simpson. Sean Simpson, you're our biggest fan today. You have 10 minutes to give us a call back at 833-288-0973. Congratulations. You've won a family 4-pack of tickets to 97.3 The Fan's Night at SeaWorld Christmas celebration presented by Sprint, and you'll be entered to win our grand prize, a perfect Christmas gift, a Barry Manilow Vegas getaway that includes 2 VIP tickets to see Manilow perform at the International Theater at the Westgate Las Vegas Dinner, Dinner for Two at the Edge Steakhouse, plus a Serenity Spa experience. Make sure to sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan to enter. Sean Simpson, you have 10 minutes to give us a call and claim your tickets, but if Sean doesn't call in, we're going to open it up to one of our callers out there. So stay tuned. We'll wait and see if Sean Simpson calls in. If not, we're going to open it up in the 2 o'clock hour. With that, right now we're going to get to today's Bench the Coach. It's sponsored by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. 2019 Pro Football Pick'em. Make your picks now for a chance at $1,000. Totally free to enter. Text football to 20357. Text football to 20357.
It's time to test your San Diego sports knowledge and see if you have what it takes to try and bench the coach on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Coach, let's bring in our contestants today. Jason from the North County is playing for 4 tickets to the Seals home opener game. Jason, what's going on?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey, we're doing well, Jason. Hope you're well, and thanks for tuning into our program.
Yes, sir.
All right, Jason, hopefully you know a little bit about the Pac-12 football championship game. Tonight is the Pac-12 championship. It will be played between Oregon and Utah. I want to know, can you name me the top 5 teams that have played in the Pac-12 championship game the most since it started back in 2011?
Yes, sir.
All right, Jason, go ahead and give me one of those teams.
Stanford with three appearances.
Stanford is correct. They've actually appeared in four. They've won three, and they've lost one. Stanford has appeared in the most Pac-12 championship games. On to you, Coach.
I'll go with Clay Helton and the USC Trojans.
Trojans are appeared in two. They're 1-1. They won in 2017 and came on second in 2015. On to you, Jason.
Oregon.
That's correct. Oregon has appeared three times in the Pac-12 championship game. They're 2-0, trying to go for 3-0 tonight. Oregon has never lost the Pac-12 championship game when they've been in it, Coach.
Interesting. Well, something's going to have to give one way or the other tonight. I'll go with Washington.
Washington has also appeared twice. They are 2-0. They won in 16 and 18. There are two teams left there, Jason. If you get one of them for me, you will win the four tickets to the San Diego Seals home opener.
Making their second straight appearance, Utah.
That is correct, Utah. And by the way, Utah has never won a Pac-12 championship game in the championship.
Hey, you know what? Jakes, I got to tell you, you did a hell of a job because, I mean, not only did you name the schools, you named how many times it appeared. So, obviously, you're a Pac-12 fan.
Yes, sir. I'm a big Oregon Duck fan, so heading home right now.
Well, good luck tonight.
Thank you, sir.
Hang on to the line, Jason. We'll get you those tickets all squared away. I got to play this for you.
That's a wrap. The coach has been benched. For now, a 97.3 The Fan. A
couple interesting talking points on the Pac-12 championship game. By the way, everybody in the Pac-12 South has played in the game. Only three schools have played in it for the Pac-12 North: Stanford, Washington, and Oregon. The North Division has won every single year except for 1 year in 2017.
Arizona State played for it?
Yes, Arizona State played for it in 2013. They played Stanford and lost 38-14. They even hosted that game, by the way.
And
Tyler Gaffney won the MVP, San Diego kid.
Yeah, out of Cathedral Catholic.
Yeah, look at that.
They won the state championship the year he was a senior.
He was. Their offensive line all went to the Pac-12, too. That's a huge factor.
That's pretty good stuff right there. Very good. You know Tyler Gaffney pretty well, don't you?
Yeah, I played high school football with his brother Drew, and Drew plays on my softball team now, Drew Gaffney, and I think both of them are part of the—
Didn't he play on that rugby team?
Yeah, he was playing on the Legion. He's retired now. He's officially retired from rugby, but— good athlete and a good friend of mine, and you know, good family over there with the Dons family. They're part of the alumni board now. I think they're working on some stuff for some future Dons alumni events.
You know, we got a lot to get covered in the 2 o'clock hour. We're going to open it up to your phone calls. We're going to get back to talking about this trade: Hunter Renfrow and Xavier Edwards going from the Padre organization going to Tampa Bay. The Padres get Tommy Pham and Jake Cronenworth, and the more we hear about Cronenworth, this guy's going to be kind of fun to check out in spring training, I think.
I'm excited for this Cronenworth guy. This is going to be cool.
He a guy that can swing the bat and pitch a little bit. It sounds like he's done a lot more swinging of the bat than pitching, and only pitched 7 1/3 innings last year, but has appeared in over 50 games in the minor leagues as a pitcher, a two-way prospect. And Orestes Estrada even mentioned, you know, the Rays probably really didn't want to give this guy up.
Yeah, exactly.
When we come back to kick off the 2 o'clock hour, we'll get back to taking your phone calls. Love to hear from you this afternoon. Everyone should have an opinion. Do you like what A.J. Preller has done so far this winter? Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. You're listening to the John Quintero Show daily right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Thanks for downloading the John Quintero Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.